like to share something before I share a song here before the message. So you get the message, and then the song, and then another message. But I wrote just a reminder, it's scripture of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It reads, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and that's talking about the testimonies of those in chapter 11, of those faithful men and women that are witnesses or testimonies to us of their faithfulness. "Let us, as we consider that, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Listen to the words of this song, please.
When the race still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong, when the witnesses are around me, and my strength is almost gone, when the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to
Christ. He is the one that we're to follow. He is the one that goes before us. He knows the way. And if we'll keep our eye on him, we won't fall. So I encourage you with that this morning. Take your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. While you're turning there, remember a man named Job in Scripture, in the Old Testament, a book by his name. Job asked an important question. He said in chapter 25 and verse 4 of Job, "How can a man be justified with God Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? How can we be justified before God? That's an important question because of the following reasoning that I give to you. First of all, creation tells us that there is a God. There's such design around us in all of creation. We have to then reason that there is a designer that made all of this. It's not just by chance that we see the creation that's around us. Our conscience also tells us that there is a God. It's been said that conscience is the voice of God within the soul of man. A lot of people, they may not have ever read the Word of God, but just deep within them, they know that there's something more than this. And people have searched, and there's an emptiness within them. You know, God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He had fellowship with them together there until they sinned and broke that fellowship. And in that fellowship, if we could just imagine in our minds, in man, that God created this desire to be complete in God. But when sin broke that fellowship, it broke that relationship that we have with him. And man then has with himself that characteristic that is searching for something to complete it. But the only thing that can truly satisfy is that relationship restored to God. And so it is that we're talking about today, even in our conscience, it is a voice that tells us that there is a God, there is something, someone that I need to be reconnected to or connected to in order to be complete. In this world of doubt and uncertainty, there are two certain facts that I remind you of. Number one, as I said, you were created by God. God made us. And number two, you will give account to that God that made us. We're told in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Every one of us have an appointment with that death, but after that is the important thing. There's some people that believe, you know, there's nothing after death. Death just ends all. I'm just going to be put in the ground and that's done. But that's our body, the shell. Our soul will live somewhere forever. Either in God's presence in his heaven or in a place of judgment called hell in the lake of fire. One of those two places, and it all depends on what you do with the information that I'm going to give you today. To make sure. Now, I know many of you have already made sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. But what I'm going to share with you today will help you in understanding to be able to speak to someone else about the needs that they may have. Maybe the questions that they may have and need answered. And so I want you to listen carefully with this honest and wise man's question of Job. How can a man be justified to God and with God? How can he be made right in a right standing with God? This question is answered, I believe, by four clear statements in the New Testament. Number one, we are justified by grace. We heard it read here just a few minutes ago as Stephen came up and read about it. We're justified by grace. Secondly, we're justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we are justified by faith, the Bible says. And do you know that fourthly, the Bible also says we're justified by works. Now, that's not a contradiction. I'm going to show you how and why it says that. But four distinct aspects of this multifaceted gem called justification. And I've entitled the message today, How Can a Man Be Justified? Father, I pray that as we look into your word, to answer this particular question, that you would make it very clear what you have said and what it means to us. And that we would make sure that we're not living just by our ideas, but Lord, that we're living according to your word. Help us to make sure that we are in a right standing with you as justified in your sight. And then too, Lord, I pray that you would help us to make sure that we are capable of answering the question of anyone else that has a need and desire to know how to be made right with you, that we could answer that question very clearly. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want us to look at is here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. And it says there, being justified freely by his, what? By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is by God's grace that we are justified. I call this the source of justification, the source of justification. We are made just before God. What does that mean there? Well, it means simply we are made uncondemned. You know that we're born into this world condemned already. We're born into this world as sinners. We're born in this world and we're headed toward God's judgment of hell and the lake of fire. And if nothing changes in our life to change that destination, we're going to end up there. But justification, this salvation, which is by faith and through this source of grace, is what makes us uncondemned. What remedies our judgment that's upon us? It's made as if we kept all of God's law from the very beginning. That we were totally righteous. Matter of fact, the word justification means declared righteous. An easy way to remember it, justification means just as if I'd never sinned. I like that one. I like easy things to remember. Just as if I had never sinned. And that's what God makes us when we get saved. We're justified. Pronounced righteous. And that justification is made by grace. What is grace? Well, there are ways to remember grace. Grace is important because it's mentioned over 200 times in Scripture. One of the first ones being there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, where it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But many times, and many, many, many more times, it is mentioned in Scripture. So what does grace mean? There's an acrostic that some people use to remember grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a neat little catchy thing, but to me it really doesn't answer the question of what is grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense, yes, but let's look a little further here. With grace comes this idea of being unmerited. What does that mean? It means I can't do anything in order to receive it. I can't earn God's grace. The very fact that it's his grace means that it's nothing I can do for it. Matter of fact, even if I try to do, there is no good works that I could possibly do that would be good enough to count. And there's enough of those good works that I could ever do that would make me declared righteous. Because I'd have to do only good works. Not even one little sin. Wednesday night, we were talking about a different subject, but I made a statement of a quote and had something to do like this. If you borrow a penny, you're in debt. If you steal a penny, you're a thief. And the point was, it doesn't matter how much in debt you are, you're in debt. It doesn't matter how much it was when you stole it, you're still a thief. And the point is, it doesn't matter how little bit of sin, with all of the good things you tried to do, it doesn't matter how little bit of sin it may be, it's still sin and you're a sinner. you're condemned before God. And most of us would have to honestly admit our sin far outweighs our good works that we try to do. But again, as God has said, even our good works are like filthy rags in His sight. They do not measure up. The best we can possibly do falls short of God's glorious standard. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we need to recognize that by grace means I cannot earn it. I cannot merit it. Undeserved favor from God. Well, what does that favor mean? Well, the way I like to think of grace is this simply. Favor is God's good that He gives us. So we're talking about that God gives unto us something good that we do not deserve, neither can we in any way earn it. That's grace. And that's what justification is, by grace. It is God's grace, the source of His giving the justification, declaring us to be righteous before Him. That's what justification is, and grace is the source of that justification. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved." All right? That saved, that salvation, is what justification is. We are declared to be righteous before God. The law thunders out, "Stand back! Stand away!" But grace says, "Come near." And God extends His grace unto us. The law has told me I have fallen short of God's glory standard. God's grace says, "But I will extend to you justification." Now let's look further. Understand, justification is by grace, the source of justification. It is the only way that we can receive God's justification. Secondly, we're justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call this the grounds for our justification. Look in, just across the page there, to Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Romans 5 and verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." From wrath being the judgment of our sin, which is death, which is not just physical death, but being separated from God in a place called hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. But being now justified by His blood, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a broken law, when I have broken God's law, there is an offended God. God's holiness is offended. His justice is offended. God's justice demands that there be a payment made. And Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission has to do with the removal of our sin, the forgiveness of our sin. And so it's with the blood of Jesus Christ that we can have our sins not just forgiven, but removed completely from us. And so we have justification, declared righteous, but we can't just be declared righteous and still have sin. We've got to have the sin dealt with. So it's all part of the same package. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that our sins can be dealt with and removed. And therefore, being able to be justified, being declared righteous in God's sight. We are just on the grounds that Christ shed His blood for us. At the Last Supper with the Lord Jesus Christ, with His disciples, He said in Luke 22:20, says, "Likewise also Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary when He died there. He shed His blood for us. The blood was necessary, and it had to be shed. Remember in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." God's penalty and judgment on sin is death. And that death is tied to being paid for by the blood. Why? Because God said in Leviticus, I believe it was, that the life, our life, is in the blood. And I've given it to you for a sacrifice. And it pictured the Lamb of God that would come and shed his blood to pay for our sin debt. All of it was part of God's plan, knowing that we would sin and need to have our sins dealt with. And so he has given us, Christ died and shed his blood for us, that we might be made just as if we had never sinned, justified. Not only did he die for us, but he died as us, a substitute, if you will. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Notice the pronouns here. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He did it for us. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. The one that was pure, the one that had no sin, he died for me that had sin, the unjust, and for you. He took our place. The just for the unjust, that we might be, he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, made alive by the Spirit. They nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, and when they nailed him there, they nailed all of our sin to him. That's what he did. He took all of the sin of mankind upon himself. Jesus paid it all. And as the song goes on to say, all to him we owe because of what he did for us. Romans 4:25 says, Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He shed his blood. And his shed blood is the grounds for our justification. Grace is the source of our justification, but the blood is the grounds for our justification. Third, we're justified by faith. Now, this would jump out to each one of us to recognize and agree with. In chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Even though it doesn't necessarily need for me to believe it in order to settle it. God said it, and that settles it. It is the truth. Now, we are justified by faith, it says. It is God's way, his means, I'll put it, for justification. Faith is the way that we access what Jesus Christ did through shedding his blood for us. It's the way that we access that grace that he's extended to every one of us. It is the means of our justification. In Galatians 2 and verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Faith of, not his faith, but the faith in what he has done. The faith that is tied to what he did on the cross. That's what our faith, that's what our salvation, that's what our justification is tied to. Not by any works that we could do. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. By his grace he extended it. And it is so important for us to understand it. Romans 3 and verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without the works. We're justified by faith, not by works. Can I say this also? We're justified, as I'm saying here, by faith alone. There are some Christians, they call themselves Christians, that say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And I have faith in what he has done. And I also pray unto Mary, and I also do this, and I also do this. And let me tell you what God says. It is faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. It's not faith in Jesus Christ and anything else. To do that means His shed blood was not sufficient alone to pay for my sin. That's heresy. It is only by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that is where salvation takes place. That's where we're pronounced righteous, as justification means. And that's where we get it. It is the means of our justification by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Abraham believed God, it was counted, it was imputed unto him, deposited to his account for righteousness. In chapter 4 and verse 3, we read that. It says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." The word counted there is the same Greek word is translated imputed in other places there. If you look in verse 20 and following, talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But God said, "You're going to have a child in old age, 100 years old." And yet he believed God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. You see, Abraham believed God. That's faith. And that faith brought about righteousness, a pronunciation of him as being righteous. Justification is what that is. Abraham did that. Faith is the means of justification, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Also, faith has a definition, and you can use an acrostic if you want to. These little things to help remember: forsaking all, I trust him. Again, forsaking all. It means it's not Jesus Christ and anything else. It's only Jesus Christ. Also, it's not enough to have faith to know, it's not enough to have the knowledge of that or to know what the Word of God says. We must believe it. I've said many times, you can't do what you don't know. But you know, you can know a whole lot about the Word of God, but if you don't believe it, it doesn't do you any good. If you don't believe it, you're not going to act on it. And so it's not just a head knowledge of what God has said, but it's the heart knowledge that says, "I accept that from you as being the facts. I believe that, what you have said." Hebrews 4:2, speaking of Israel, it says this: "The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." They heard the word, but it didn't do any good because it was not mixed with faith. They didn't believe what they were hearing of God's word. It's not enough to have God's word. It's not enough to know God's word. We must believe it. Neither is the blood alone that saves. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for every individual that has ever lived, that has ever sinned. Jesus Christ died for all. But you know, not all have received God's forgiveness, His salvation, His justification. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ must be believed and received by faith. We must apply what He has said. You remember at the Passover original, when the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage, and God sent Moses unto them, and he had several plagues that God allowed him to do, but it wasn't until the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, that made Pharaoh release the children of Israel to go through the wilderness wanderings and finally receive into the promised land. Do you remember, though, at the plague, that God told Moses to tell the Jewish people that he was going to send a death angel that was going to come, and in every household, the oldest would die. The oldest child would die of the human beings, of the animals. But they, if they took a lamb that was pure, without spot or blemish, representing Jesus Christ without sin, if they took the lamb and they slaughtered the lamb and then took the blood and applied it to the doorpost, it says that when I see the blood, I will pass over that household from judgment. That's what Passover is all about. That was the picture of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God that died to shed his blood. But if Israel, if the Jews had just shed the blood and not applied it to the doorpost, death would still have come. And Jesus Christ, and he has shed his blood, but we do not by faith apply that to our lives by making a choice to receive what he did as our payment of sin, we have neglected his shed blood payment for our sin debt. It's freely offered to anyone that will receive it. But by faith, they must make the choice. And I'm afraid it's possible that in a crowd this size, there may be someone or some ones sitting here that have heard the story, that know the truth, but they have not made the choice to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe they're sitting here getting a little uncomfortable right now. That's God saying, you need this. I'm offering this to you freely right now. Don't put it off. Faith is absolutely essential, for he that believeth not is condemned already, as I mentioned earlier. We're already headed to hell, and if we don't change that by making a choice to receive Jesus Christ, we will die and we'll go to hell. God does not want any to perish in that place, but that all would come to repentance, to turn from our way and turn to him and his way. And it's the only way that we can ever have our sins forgiven. The only way we can ever be justified, and it's by faith, applying the blood of Jesus Christ to our lives. Faith is absolutely essential. All who are justified before God are justified by faith alone, and that is the means of justification. Yet genuine faith is never alone. We're justified by faith alone, but genuine faith is never alone. I want to bring you to the last point. And that is, we're justified by works. Wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't you read in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ? How can it say that we're not justified by works and we are justified by works? Isn't that contradictory? Yes, if you don't know what it means. Turn with me over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're justified by works. I call this the proof of justification. We have the source of justification is grace. The grounds of justification is the blood of Christ. We have the means of justification, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, shed blood. And now we have the proof that our faith is genuine. We have the proof of justification, and that is works, good works in our life. Notice in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? It's talking about what God had told him to do. He was Isaac, the son that God had promised that he would have a child in old age. He believed God. God gave him this son. And now as a young boy, probably a young teenager or so, and he says, I want you to take him up to Mount top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him there. And New Testament tells us that he believed that if he did that, God was able to raise him up again because he was the son of promise. And so he did what God said. He went up there, and God stopped him before he took his life. And there was a ram caught in the thicket that he used the ram that God provided instead. And there's a statement that God made in that passage where Isaac asked, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And Jesus was that lamb of God that died for us. God had it all planned. He had the purpose. He knew what he was doing. And he pictured it out there for us. But he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The word perfect means complete or evident. How that faith was made evident by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You see what he's talking about here. We're justified by faith. But it's by genuine faith. And genuine faith will always have works that follow. And that is the key to understand what James is talking about here. In verse 14, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say, and I underline the word say in my Bible because it's important to understand, what doth it profit, my brethren, that if a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith say, can that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute, it goes on to say it by illustration there. But look at verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also, or the demons also, believe and tremble. And the demons are not going to heaven. Why do you think you are just because you believe in God? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith that does not produce any good works is not a genuine faith. You're saying I have faith, but it's not real. And the proof of it is there's no good works that are following. There's no changed life that's taking place. There's no desire to be in God's house. There's no desire to be in God's Word. There's no desire to be obedient to what Jesus Christ says. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say, Jesus asks. You're going through the motions. You're walking through the doors. But you're not genuinely involved in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine faith will always be followed by the good works. All who are justified before God are justified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's offered because of God's grace. But that genuine faith that applies the blood to our lives will also then produce the good works that we are to maintain. Understand that works is not the means of our justification. Faith is the means, but works is the evidence, the proof that we have been truly saved, that we have justification. Job's question then, how can a man be justified with God? It's not by what you know, it's by who you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know him personally as your Savior. It's not by what you do, but it's by what Christ did. That's the difference. When it comes to the age-old question of justification, grace is the source. Christ's blood is the grounds. Faith is the means, and works is the proof that is genuine. God's grace has provided it. God the Son has finished all necessary in order to offer it freely to us. The question that you got to make sure today is, have you applied that faith in your life? Have you genuinely trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? I'm not asking you believe in God. I'm not asking you, are you a member of church? I'm not asking you if you ever got wet in a baptismal pool. I'm not asking you any of those questions. I'm asking you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you by faith made a choice to trust only what He did on Calvary's cross to be your payment of sin? That's the only thing that you're holding on to. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He is the only one that can provide salvation. He is the only one that can keep me saved after I've extended my faith into Him. And He is able to do it. He is able. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then good works will be evident in your life. Make sure where you stand with Jesus Christ today. It's all about who you know. And I pray you know Him as your Savior. Every head bowed, please. How can a man be justified with God? How can a man be made right? How can we be pronounced righteous before God? He graciously extends it. The blood of Christ has completely paid for it. And we access it by faith. Making a choice, saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know and believe that Jesus Christ died for me and paid everything that was necessary for my sin debt. And right now, I make a choice to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's what salvation is. That's when salvation takes place. Immediately upon your heart, genuinely desiring what Jesus did to be your payment of sin. And when you do that, not only are your sins forgiven, but you are declared righteous. You are justified before God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And it takes place at that choice. And then God begins to change your life and to produce that desire to be in His church, that desire to be in His Word, that desire to be obedient unto what He says. Those good works will follow the genuine salvation. Could I ask, with nobody looking around, how many of you here today could say, Pastor, I believe to the best of my understanding that I have genuinely trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that He has paid for all my sin and has declared me righteous. If you know that, could I just see your hands real quick? Thank you. Thank you. You may put them down. If you're listening and you're saying, Pastor, I couldn't honestly raise my hand right then, but I would like to know for sure that my sins have been forgiven and that I have been declared righteous before God. I want to be right with Him. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to call your name or point you out. No one's looking around. But you say, Pastor, would you pray for me right now? Could I see your hand up? Anyone at all? Father, I pray right now for what You're doing in the hearts and minds of folks, that we would honestly seek to make sure that we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for the many that are sure, and I pray that You'll continue to help them not just to live with that understanding, but Lord, understand how to share that truth and to explain it to others. And I ask, Lord, that for anyone here that does not yet know for sure, has not yet made the decision, that you would help them to understand your love for them and what you have provided. And that they would be drawn unto the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the forgiveness of their sins. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.